This meeting is now being recorded.
Great.
I think it'd be useful to not make this a one-off, but to make sure, because you develop it into a process for that the customer standing can use potentially later on, if necessary.
Throw the question out to the session for the CSC?
No, the data scrubbing side of things. So that if the CSC later on...
The data scrubbing will be embedded into the generation of what? I mean, it's not a one-off.
Oh, okay.
The production version, in order to generate the dashboards and those sorts of
Hello. Things. Hello. This meeting is now being recorded.
Yeah. The scrub data is,
Okay.
is part of the system. It's not a one-off.
Okay, so if I can elaborate just a little. As we identified and Mark identified, we don't log a lot of information in the current system for now. When we started implementing the measurement for a lot of this stuff, we took sort of the opposite approach. Let's just log a bunch of stuff because, you know, there might be more SLAs down the road. We might want to tweak them. And if we can avoid it, if we just log a lot of information, then maybe it's already capturing the information we might need when we next revise the SLA. You don't have to go through a whole other software development site. So kind of took the approach of just logging very verbosely. As David identified, that does include confidential information.
Yeah.
So we're purely scrubbing it from a confidentiality perspective, to hide anything. And to the critical point is that the dashboards, all that will be produced from the scrub data. So the theory is we'll publish the scrub data, we'll publish that dashboard, and any third party should be able to take that scrub data and count the same results, which I believe is
correct. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Will this scrubbing eliminate any need for the customers of IANA to authorize the use of their transaction data for these purposes?
I mean, we were not intending. I mean, that's the point of scrubbing it. The scrub will leave customers to be confidential. Maybe there are some gray areas we might need clarification on Bali service. Our assumption is, you know, the timestamps that relate to the SLEs that are anonymized to the point where you know if it's a CC or a G, because that's a category, you know the type of change, NSDF, ACTC, and so on. So we don't identify what the TLC is. We don't identify.
So that is what we do not have today, which has just been
right. The scrubbing bit
is
development that's ongoing. What we have right now is the generation of the actual log events with the full data that needs to be scrubbed before we actually release it. But there's no time constraints on that, right? When we get the scrubbing code done, then we just apply it to the data that we've been collecting since March 2nd, I guess.
Okay, so we'll be able to get a definitive answer to those questions. Can we be certain that we'll not need any form of permission requirement in order for the release of scrub data?
So I guess what we'll first need to do is actually get some dummy output of the scrubber and float that to you all just to see.
Yeah, I mean, it's our preference not to have to ask permission.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if we ask for permission, we'd have to put in a UI element into the web page, and it'd be annoying.
Yeah, but, I think we'd appreciate your feedback on the sensitivity. Like, if you think we're actually divulging too much, let's have that discussion, and we can work out the right approach.
Yeah, the thing is, the scrubbing removes what evidently could be a problem, but there are other ways of knowing. A short time ago, if TLD was doing a lot of emergency changes, we probably know it was Turkey, even if it doesn't say so.
Yeah, I'm not convinced we're even the TLD will necessarily anonymize.
I agree. I mean, there's definitely the ability without looking back from a rhythm change.
Yes.
Traffic analysis.
Yeah, pretty easily.
That's the other side of the coin of being more transparent about each change request.
Yeah. Right. And but the real concern that we have, as Mark can probably attest, wherever there he is, is that the existing data structures include complete email messages. And there's clearly information that can be contained within a request and within the email that is highly confidential. So that's the raw data that we had no interest, no ability to even consider releasing.
Is NDIA okay with us releasing the data after we scrub it? We have that permission to do that?
We have not explored that with them.
They are aware of the SLEs.
Yeah,
We will have to, once we're prepared to share the information, have to notify them.
Yeah, we have to work with them to get approval.
And I'm sure they'll want to see it before. They always like to see the data before we get approval.
I think you should.
Not like you can get pre-approval.
I think you should reconsider scrubbing out the TLD because I think it's trivial to reverse engineer it. And too many people will, and it make it look like you're hiding something unnecessarily.
I think whatever we decide, we want to be explicit with the community. And
yeah.
There's significant pushback, and we should address that by whatever mechanism. And if it does ultimately mean an opt-in or an opt-out mechanism, obviously that's software development that we need to consider.
I think we should do everything to avoid an opt-in mechanism or an opt-out.
Yeah.
This should be a core transparency principle that this is that is guiding this, and that we publish because of that. And any TLD that doesn't like it shouldn't be a TLD, basically.
So, Dave,
you're no longer a TLD.
No.
I think the principles that Joel wrote in the design team did not go down to the level of TLDs. My understanding was the principles, and Kim knows these by heart, so he'll also tell me if I've got it wrong. Or that you just wanted to know timestamps basically for how much time the IANA functions operator spends, and then how much time might rest with a TLD operator, not a specific TLD operator, and then how much time it might take the root zone maintainer. And so by putting in explicit TLD operators, it wasn't... the principal didn't make it sound like you wanted to identify individual organizations.
I certainly hadn't thought it through until now.
So let me tell you, I think that if we are going to show the TLD, I'm going to have a problem because there's nothing in my contracts with the TLDs that says I can show these kind of data. And if they are having problems, their competition could use that and say they're not stable and stuff. Now I get into this problem of I'm allowing people to snoop on others and...
But can we look at it the other way around? Is there anything in your contract that stops you sharing that data?
No, but I don't want to invite lawsuits. So
if we anonymize the data and just assign a number like TLB 1234 so that we can track it through the entire...
So I think the challenge with that is that at the end of the process is something that's public, which just changes to the root or changes to the root database. So you can roughly correlate the time stamps in the logging to when it actually appears live.
Yeah.
And someone, I think you could work back from
that. I think it'd be trivial to do.
It's not like we're offering it to them on a
plate. Yeah, so I'm not sure I understand what's wrong with the proposal. The proposal would be, ICANN's fully transparent. They say, well, we're going to do this. We'll release the timestamps, strip out the TLD. We recognize that. You just think it makes people look foolish?
Yeah, it makes it look like it takes control away to someone else who's going to do that work of producing that, and makes it look like we're hiding something without actually having thought through the triviality of it. And I said I don't think the legal point is whether we're allowed to do it. The legal point is if we can't do it, we ought to look at it the other way around.
No, but you have to put yourself as in the shoes of the TLD operator, right?
I do understand that, but I think that is something that is relatively newly introduced from the commercial implications of some new GTLDs, not all of them. I don't think it's a long-standing principle that we've had about management of the root, and I'm cautious that we change what have been long-standing principles based on a relatively probably small number of TLDs who may be quite litigious about it. So that's the point I'm making.
So I think it's worth considering there is, I think... At least we think there's a presumption of confidentiality to requests that are in process and the details of how that happens, which is why, just in the last session, I didn't talk about that particular TLD.
Yeah.
I just spoke in generality.
I think the details, I can well understand that, yes.
Right. But or, you know, yeah. What are details and then what's in the eye of the beholder? I think these logs, like the fact that you failed technical check 50 times before you succeeded might reflect badly.
But then that's good. Yeah, exactly. So it should. Yes, exactly.
So they need to be aware when
Yeah. Give them 6 months notice.
The LE. Okay. The SLEs are to measure ICANN's performance, not to measure whether a TLD is having a problem, changing certain things or stuff. So, because that's a different issue. If we're looking to measure now performance of TLD, that's a different issue. Let's not go there.
No. In the SLEs, there is clearly a statement about publishing all of this data. And at no point did we imagine it would be anonymized to take out the TLD within that. Okay? That's something newly introduced that we hadn't expected to be there in the way that that's written. It's meant to be an open database of what happens to those TLDs. Obviously, with some of the details removed, you know, about upsets between different contacts and those sort of things, but the expectation was that would be public. Now, that's not clearly stated because never imagined that you would go the other direction on that.
Totally changed from the current environment. I mean,
the whole thing is a total change from the current environment. Absolutely, completely agree. Yeah. The new SLA is a total change from the current environment. I'd say a significant improvement from the current environment, but it is a total change, yes.
But, Jay, reading the design team's email list, there's never been anything about reporting on TLDs. It's all about reporting ICANN's performance and making sure that you're not conflating ICANN's performance with delays that might come from the TLD operator or from VeriSign. So it's, I don't know if these were side discussions, but they certainly were not documented in the discussions in the email.
But well, that's because it was a simple, straightforward assumption. I mean,
well, your assumption is that maybe not everyone
we would
else
just be publishing that.
So, I mean, to that point, I went through the whole process assuming we would need to anonymize it. So
right, okay.
It was clearly never explicitly talked about.
And if we want to make that assumption concrete, then I think we actually have to go back to the registry community, both G's and C's, and say, look, you know, in the future, we're thinking about doing this. What do you think? And see what the community thinks. I think it would be really bad for us in the development of service levels for the IANA process to make this sort of change.
Okay, that's a step forward. If you're willing to do that, that's very useful.
Yeah, because the design team never explicitly set that up as an assumption nor a principle.
Right. And to be clear, it's not us. It would be this would be a community decision. If the CCs and the Gs want to get together and say we want to change things via the CFC or something like that, there are now very elaborate mechanisms in which we'll be able to do this in the future.
So just a thought on this. Because I'm sort of going back and forth between anonymous and the disclosure. Is it possible to keep it anonymous but have it under some sort of lightweight document disclosure policy? Like if somebody asked, then just have some reasoning, then it would be disclosed what it is, but the standard would be anonymous? Is that something that could be possible?
I think what he's saying is that once we release these things, people would be able to reverse engineer it.
Yeah. Oh, I completely understand.
My problem is, yes, fine. It could be easily understood who is having problems and not, but let's not go and flaunt it and say and put it on us that it's ICANN is throwing these guys under the bus.
I agree. So that's what I'm saying is that it would be the standard. The standard would be anonymous, and we wouldn't release it. But if there was if somebody came and said, here's a specific, it's almost like a document disclosure policy. Say, here's why I want to know, and then you know they could go through that process to have it disclosed on that individual basis, not for everything.
I think that our document disclosure policies are very clear. If you sign in a non-disclosure agreement, we can get you some data. So
putting it under that, and then that would be a compromise. Because at the end of the day, Jay, you're right. Anybody, you could figure it out. But if you're like looking at it as something bigger and you needed confirmation, then you can go to ICANN and say, here's the reason why I need to know. This is what I'm working on, and then they make that decision.
But actually, I don't think you would generally be able to figure, you know, certain scenarios, yes, you'd be able to figure out, but, you know, the case of, you know, technical check failing 50 times, that's not something you'd be able to figure out externally,
that's true.
Right? And that's potentially embarrassing for the registry. That could impact their business.
and not the registry. It's the back-end provider. And the back-end provider is getting business based on their technical stuff. Then we are, like, hurting their business.
But then say I'm a new CLD operator and I'm doing due diligence on a customer and say, I'd like to know, have they had massive problems?
Yeah.
And that would be part of, like, a standard due diligence.
It's the goal of the SLEs to measure ICANN performance or to measure CLD performance.
Yeah.
And if the goal is to measure ICANN performance, we should focus on that and then potentially later discuss and go forward.
Meeting, I think we want to focus on IANA performance
and
not get into situations in which the key factors in the CLD performance.
We're only going to be able to not figure it out if two or more go live at the same time. So if somebody fails checks.
You don't see the technical checks. Externally, you don't see the technical checks.
Good. Well, that's right. Okay.
Right.
That's fine. So that doesn't affect anonymization then, does it? So if we don't see the number of times something goes through a technical check, so we're not talking about that, but I'm not sure how anonymization hides that even further. Do you see what I mean?
No, but the anonymization would hide the entity that's doing the technical check.
Great, yes. So if you anonymize and hide that entity,
then
at the end point of which it goes live when they finally pass the technical checks, if that's the only change that takes place in the zone at that time, we know who they are.
But you don't know they're failing the technical
check.
I think we need to belabor this whole hour with this discussion. I think what I'm hearing is, basically, I think TLDs need to go with eyes wide open, whatever gets decided here. I think feel strongly if this should all be new disclosures, that there needs to be some kind of buy-in to it.
Something that the G's and the C's should initiate and make sure that their own communities are supportive of this and then come forward with a proposal?
Yeah, maybe it's somehow out of scope for the SLEs. I wonder if we just get the SLEs done for the purpose they're intended and then...
So my concern with an identity, and it doesn't have to name the specific TLD or the operator back in, is just the ability to track IANA's or ICANN's performance of a change request happens here, when did it get fulfilled. It's not so much who is that or how long is that particular...
Yeah. And that's what we're doing, the anonymization.
But is there any single thread that you can track in one case all the way through? That's what I'm asking.
Yes. And there'll be some kind of unique identifiers that correlate logs together. I think the key piece that transforms it from anonymous to identifiable. So one option we might want to consider is by rather than giving actual times, give time offsets from zero. I mean, there's all sorts of ways that I don't want to solve that problem. I mean, clearly we're identifying issues.
There is a specific reason identified in the SLE report as to why it might be useful to not anonymize. And that is that there have been concerns raised, which I personally don't share, that new TDLDs are prioritized over old CCTLDs or awkward CCTLDs, shall we say. And if you anonymize, you cannot evidentially prove that that is not the case. Now, I think it is useful to IANA, ICANN, to be able to prove that you are not differentiating between different classes of TLD.
Even if we anonymize, we would say this is a CCTLD and this is a GTLD, right? We actually, because you're asking for the SLEs to be separate between CCs and Gs, we are going to give you that information. These are CCs, these are Gs. But we're not going to tell you which TLD it is. That's all.
Yeah, but if there's any question as to whether there is a differentiation taking place, you're not able to prove that.
Oh.
You are between that one incidence of GTLDs, all GTLDs.
Oh, but you can aggregate and trend the data. You can, just as we do today, we aggregate and trend delegations and redelegations and then say what the average processing time is. So that we do that on a high level today, just not to the...
Yeah, but I think to Jay's point, I mean... GTLDs are faster to process because they're a lot simpler. There's usually very few hiccups, whereas CCTLDs, we're often dealing with CCTLDs that don't have a lot of experience and they take a long time to handhold through the process. So if you just look at the aggregate data, you are going to say that GTLD is a lot faster. Mm-hmm. You might draw inferences from that. I think I've heard the argument, and I agree. I mean, the more transparency we give, the more we can allay concerns about stuff we don't do, but it's at a cost. It's at a cost of anonymity.
Yeah, but let's remember that our action, the way I understand the SLEs are working is we're measuring the time we take to do an action, mm-hmm. and then there is a measurement for the time the TLD takes to make an action.
Yes, which is excluded from the...
Which is excluded. Yeah. If these times are the long pole in the tent, then it will be extracted out and the averages should be okay.
And we can back in and provide that proof if challenged.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But I think, to get back to what Jonathan said, we really should try to focus on the goal, which is to get the SLEs that we've put in place to decide on how much data to collect before we start reviewing it to look at SLAs so that we can move forward. And, you know, if there's going to be enhancements, I'll call them enhancements, the reporting, that can be done after the communities agree on what those enhancements should be above and beyond what's already been proposed.
Okay.
Patricia.
As I told you yesterday, I'm catching up with what's been going on because after we finished our report, and I basically was not involved with anything that happened until a few days ago when we started getting again news about this process, and we learned about Mark's study. So I'd really like to understand where we are and where we are going, and it seems to me from what I hear is that now we are in the process of collecting the data that will allow us to compute the SLEs that we defined as different from what could be computed from the data that you had before, right?
Okay.
And Mark's study refers to that, not to what's being collected now.
Yeah.
Right?
Correct.
Okay. And that's, this process will, when we have enough data and understand there is this thing of whether we need 3 months or six, will allow us to, or the community, to decide what the appropriate levels are, right? The thresholds. And this process will then be an ongoing process because the same data will allow the community to determine when there has been a breach or whether the performance is within the appropriate limits. Am I right in that understanding?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. And I think David's put up thanks to Kim. David's put it up.
Can I just say first, thank you to Mark for that report. I think personally that was a better report than we could have written if we'd been given the data. So that was excellent. And so I have no concerns at all about the way that was taken forward and that was dealt with. That was a very nicely done piece of work.
Thank you for that.
Okay.
Transfer the comments to my team too.
Right. Actually, Ken, do you want to speak to this?
Yeah, sure. I mean, this is really just to paint the landscape that you were just talking about, which is what we've done and what we're doing. So there's really sort of six steps to show in this diagram. We split it across two slides. The first one is what you folks have done, which is, you know, the report that tells us what are the measurement aspects that's done. We then took those, identified what RZMS was not capturing. We've gone through a software development cycle. That software deployment happened on the 2nd of March. As of the 2nd of March, now we're logging that raw data. And as I mentioned earlier, we're sort of regularly collecting data. We've collected more than perhaps is necessary, but we figured that's probably a good thing to do if we tweak the SLAs in the future. next step, which... I'll go back to our development team after this meeting and we'll kick this off in earnest, is taking that raw log, not only anonymizing it, but actually developing sort of the dashboard component to it too, which is generating graphs, generating ability to drill down into the data and inspect it via a web interface. And that will be the public representation of the data on our website post-transition. The notion is, as we develop that and we have like our first preliminary dashboard, we'll share it with you as a draft, and then we'll continue to share data as we get more and more confident in it. After we have this period of data collection, which I guess the exact period we perhaps the topic of discussion here,
But it's the my assumption is it's once we have confidence in the data, we want to go through and check the data against our records, make sure everything lines up, and be confident that the data that's coming to the dashboard is truly accurate. Once we're satisfied that, we then need to set what the actual thresholds are, this percentage, this time, whatever the case may be. And then we can take that agreement between the community and ICANN back into the dashboard and basically do sort of, the color highlighting of the threshold. So it actively tells you, we're within the threshold, exceeding the threshold, and so on and so on. So those five steps kind of bring us to transition. And then the assumption is through a regular process, we will, of course, evolve it. Communicating with the CSC, there's other kinds of periodic reviews, whatever the case may be, that, these don't become static, these don't become locked in. We're happy to adapt these measurements, adapt these thresholds based on, further discussion in the future, months and years to come. So that's kind of how we envisage this working.
And there's actually a blog posted this morning that actually goes into discusses this to some extent. And we proposed within that blog that the initial period be 3 months, as I think we discussed on a call earlier.
So how do the SLAs compare immediately at or prior to the transition? How do they compare at the various stages of evolution? Because one of the concerns might be that this is we're going to see no improvement, how do the SLAs compare the PTI will be held to compared to what the existing entity is?
So right now our SLAs are kind of very high up. So for CCTLD, say delegation, right now it's 120 days is the expectation to complete a CCTLD delegation or re-delegation. And we're supposed to do that 50% of the time, I think. And that was the result of a public comment period. And we had made some aggressive suggestions in our public comment where we said 90 days and we would do it 80%. And the comments came back like, you're smoking something. You better really reduce it and make 120 days and only 50%. And so we've been tracking against that, and we hit it every time quite easily. Then with the GTLDs, it's a different metric, and that metric is 20 days? It's 20 days, and we have to hit it 80% of the time. And again, we've hit the metric, and we put in the publication which TLDs missed or didn't miss it. And that's just end-to-end time. So there's no breakdown of what was the time spent by the IANA function staff. There's no breakdown of what time was spent by NTIA, no breakdown of what time spent by VeriSign, and no breakdown of how much time the requester spent after they initially submitted it. So it's a very high level and just end-to-end time. And that's the SLA that we report on now and have been for, I think it's 2 years now. So they're all published on the IANA.org/performance website. So this will have the ability, as you've requested, to show how much time ICANN spends on the IANA function piece, how much time the requester spends in the iterations where something was unclear, how much time it takes from when we submit it to VeriSign to show up in the root zone. And so that could be the next layer of SLA, but you may want to show more data. Could say, how much time does it take in technical checks? And I think once we see the raw data and it gets, the SLE data gets shown, then this group, or I don't know if it's a broader group, will look at that and decide, okay, what's important for us to know? Do we need to know each and every one of these metrics, or do we want to have some aggregate of those times?
So I'm going to get right to the point, because, for me, it feels sensible where we're going, and I quite like the proposal of iterative improvement beyond. But the concern, I think, from the design team, and I don't want to put words in you guys' mouth, the concern is this a fudge to push it further down the track? That's you know, are we going to have a meaningful SLA in place at the time of the transition? So that's what I don't want
to say. I'd like to expand that question.
Can you go back to the slide? Because I think that's the question.
We lost the computer.
Okay.
Pull mine out.
The question,
if I can just explain that question. The question is, if I understand it, what you're saying is with 3 months of data collection, you can guarantee that we'll have something meaningful
at
the time, but with 6 months, you can't make that guarantee. Yeah. Is that the case?
6 months, we won't hit the transition date.
Right, so 6 months, you won't make it, okay? So with 3 months...
The math from now till September.
No, I don't need to. Okay. So that's the point you're making, is that if it's down to 3 months, you can guarantee that you'll make it and hit it there. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yeah?
Okay.
And therefore, we will have meaningful SLA
in
place.
Yes.
In 3 months, we think we will have something meaningful to measure so that we can set the SLA.
Exactly.
If after 6 months or 9 months or a year, we have more meaningful data, then the committee can review the data and say, you know what, these SLAs were set too high because the data is much better. We can adjust it.
Yes.
That's all.
This is the deliberate intention, is that we are not trying to tighten the SLA to increase the performance of IANA at the time of go live. Okay. By nature, it will look very different because we're taking out the process and taking out the processing time that's held with the TLD currently, which is part of the IANA metric, which is just ridiculous at its part there. Okay. So that's taken out. So they will look very different for those reasons, but basing it on true data means that it's a reasonably fair way of doing that, mm-hmm. and the mechanism is then in place, as said, for the CSC to do something about that, either up or down, because the 3 months may be unrepresentatively, tight compared to 6 months or something like that.
To that point, if I may, what keeps me up at night is not the kinds of requests that the people in the room are doing. Like, we do a lot of GTLD delegations, we do a lot of name server changes to CCTLDs, but if you look at the complexity of all the measures, there's some things that we'll do like one a year off. And part of the thinking of having a large corpus of data is we don't really want to set SLAs based on one or zero events of a particular thing. And that's kind of a unique situation we're in because we have some really oddball stuff we do from time to time that we are going to measure.
Yeah, I wonder if it would make sense that anything that we don't have sufficient data and we'll have to identify what that threshold would be just to fall back on the existing SLAs that the community seems to have been happy with since IANA's operation.
So why
don't we leave that to the committee to decide once we have the data?
I'm suggesting it as a proposal.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying we'll do that, just as an idea.
So do you have a list of all possible requests and actions that you'll be checking the 3 months worth of data against the services? Or how are you going to deal with a zero event?
Well, we'll be assessing it against the design team's report, which has that four-page mm-hmm. table, and we'll be trying to produce measures for every row of the table. And we should know the population size of each of those events.
After 3 months, we'll obviously have a population size for each of the cells in the table. It's just some of them may not be sufficient to get a statistically valid sample, and in that case, what do we do? And that's why I was suggesting maybe just falling back on sort of the high-level SLA.
So do you know if the design team's table covers every single action? Did we miss anything?
Probably covers more than everything. Rather than less than everything.
Good.
But also, too, so as regards CCTLD, DEL, REDELs, you're not going to have enough data in 90 days to develop, right?
We'll probably have maybe two.
Yeah. So I think that goes without saying, but there's a general sense that that's a meaningful period given the time constraint we're in. But also, too, is it not recognized that the moment that the CSC is constituted, they'll have the data, and they could immediately start a process of reviewing those in terms of SLA.
Right.
Yeah.
And David, to your point, myself, I'd be cautious about just reverting too easily to the high-level SLAs.
Absolutely.
Certainly, us as a registry, we'd rather have the new ones. But maybe we should flag those where it was really weak data, and maybe escalate those in terms of reconsideration. Some way of doing some exception procedure for those where the data...
We have a really mechanism. Huh? We have a mechanism within there, which is a threshold, but have to meet that. So we put a specific time on it, but the threshold is largely, it's a probability thing. So if actually the statistical number is very low, we can dial down the number that need to meet that to then get to the point where we get better data and dial up the threshold later without actually having to change the overall time, possibly. You know, and the other thing we've got is we've got the report that has some very useful information about some things in there, and that can then guide and think, I think, fill some of the holes as well. So it's useful.
So it sounds like we're coming together, and 3 months is going to be okay?
Well, I'm disappointed it didn't start in January, and then we'd have the 6 months, but we don't need to get into the reasons about that, because I think that's going to just be time-wasting, I suspect. So, yes, I personally can see a way forward with this, certainly.
But just in terms of expectation setting, just want to be clear. We started data collection on March 2nd.
Yeah.
We haven't... In testing, we have looked at the data, but we haven't looked at the real data compared it to our ticketing system and cross-verified it and so on. We'll start doing that next week. I think there's a reasonable chance that we might need to tweak it and do another deployment and build. So when does that first 3 months start when we have quality data? It might take us a few weeks to get there.
Oh, so it doesn't start 2nd March?
Well, I don't know. I mean, if our developers are great and there's no bugs,
right.
I think garbage data. We might find some cases we need to test.
Yeah. Okay.
What's the drop dead date for meeting the goal?
Well, that's a question to the group. What would be the latest date?
The August 15th is.
I dropped it.
3 months back from August 15th.
No, you're not going to be able to do three. Do everything.
Well,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, three months back that, and then add a month. For actually doing the contractual due,
right.
So say 4 months. So
I think we have a month to play with.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So the expectation is by April 1st.
Yeah.
We should have discovered if there were any gotchas.
Okay.
To be able to.
I think.
Yeah, April Fool's Day.
Okay. Just to allay my nerves, it would be nice if there was some firm responsibility taken within ICANN about the amount of time you need after the. But after the data collection to implement things so that we know from you what that drop dead date is and then if there's a problem and it's not met, then we can sort of call you to account for that.
Some of this is going in parallel, even though it looks like a sequential set of things.
I think Jay's right. There is we need to know the time it's gonna take the committee to say yes. We have the raw data.
That's right.
These are the SLAs that we generate from there. We put them in the contract and we get all of that done. So there is work there. There is work to generate the data, to run the whatever the...
The scrubber and the aggregator.
Yeah. And then there is the collection data. We need to know these three elements so that we can give it that deadline that says if we don't start by then, we're already missing our chance. So,
so if you go from April 1st to July 1st, that's 3 months of data collection. That means... Can you get everything else done from July 1st to August 15th? That's you.
Me?
You personally, Akram.
Well, ultimately, I mean, the point being that once you've collected the data and got the stats out of that, we're just signing that off that you haven't done something crazy. We're not adjusting it.
Yeah, that's true.
That's it. Right. So ours is a relatively short process, a couple of days or something like that.
Yeah.
We should probably, it's one of those things where you've just factored into the project planning, but we should also, probably at that point it goes to CWG.
Yeah.
CT
yes, exactly.
Recommends it, is happy with it,
yeah.
Formal sign off by CWG back to you. And
So we need to have some idea of the time. Is that a 2 week period? Is that a 4 week period?
Just on.
So
yeah.
The TT, the design team has to be available like the beginning of July to take their step.
No, but actually, if we can plan it ahead, it's easier to do the DT meeting and the CWG meeting.
You mean we could set those up now?
Yes.
Yeah, in principle we could, and but it feels like something like 3 weeks just to be safe. That kind of,
but which is fine. It's well within the window of what you require. But
make it.
Sequence it out and plan the dates, yeah.
So we should start socializing that, say a July 1st to say 21st sort of time period, so that everyone sort of at least has it on a on their mental calendar.
Mm-hmm.
So just a nerdy question from my part. When the SLEs are given, is there already a formula for getting the SLAs out?
We just need figures that come out of the data collection that fill in some boxes, and that's it.
We can give you average, mean, max,
standard deviation, all that stuff. But the actual selection of what the actual threshold values are, how does that happen?
Yeah,
like.
We're going to be giving, just take the simple case, we'll give you a median for, processing a request. You don't want to set an SLA on a median.
So that goes back to my earlier question. Will we have a median SLA in place at the time of the transition?
Earlier on in this process, we discussed thresholds of 95th percentile, mm-hmm. those sort of things, and I thought there had been pushback on that you wanted to set those percentiles. Based on that data. So I thought that you would be giving us that.
We can do that if you'd like.
You would do that based on that data, and we would then sanity check that to understand if that's the case.
We can find values that we think are reasonable. That's certainly no problem.
Yeah, I agree, because we went through it and we said, oh, we're not going to hold them to 5.9s, but what's a relevant number? We said 95%, around. We have different
numbers. That's in the report.
Those are in the report, exactly, yeah.
Oh, so when we fill out the table, you'd like us to also say what
proposed SLA against each other.
And then we sanity check it and give a thumbs up, a thumbs down, or just do we need to change it and why,
Okay, so the second week of July, you can start having your meeting. Is there enough?
It's been a while, and mutants groups, sorry if this has been raised, but there was a survey 4 or 5 years ago where you collected that sort of information, so what was the expectation from the TLD?
Correct.
That is something that's very useful in an exercise because I don't think it's out
there. No, we're really trying not to change what the current data collection is. So we're trying to base it on, what they think is reasonable based on the data, not based on people's expectations. The expectations come in later to the CSC to adjust those things. Yeah.
So a question I have is, we're reporting monthly on SLE performance.
Yes.
Okay. So if you have a particular area of measurement that has very minimal activity, take something a 95% of 2.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can do it.
It becomes.
No, that's deliberately addressed in terms of the measurement period can be over a year, but it's still reported monthly.
Okay.
For low volume months.
So those will be noted.
And that's precisely the kind of issues where I personally was hesitant to start throwing out percentages early in the process till we had this data, because those kinds of issues will emerge when we see the relative number of certain kinds of events.
Well, you could state the percentages in terms of an annual.
Yeah.
95% over 6 months or over.
No, they're all annual.
And you can show the you can still report the progress or that, but.
The percentage thresholds are all annual.
Even then.
That answers my question.
Okay. And we have Mark's data, which actually very nicely shows us the outliers. Reasonably well.
You should speak up, Mark.
Be careful about
What it does is, I think, is very clearly identify the outliers and allow the outliers to be removed.
Before you make too much conclusions based on our report, please call me.
He stands behind the report.
So I'm hearing that we are creating a baseline and then we'll adjust that later on. Forgive me for asking this. I know you're all trustworthy, but how do we know you're not going to go as slow as you possibly can over the next 3 months so that baseline?
First of all,
we continue reporting what we've been reporting now for a number of years, at least until transition, if not further. So if suddenly resume requests take a lot longer in the next 3 months, our existing reporting mechanism should evidence that.
Yeah, we report.
And MPI would scream at us.
We have another monthly report which is out there, which shows the number of root zone requests we receive and then the average processing time for each of those root zone categories of requests. I trended personally for our own benefit in-house. Anyone who wanted to could also, to see whether it spikes or not.
Okay, and we'll take your current, the next 3 months data collection and look at what's happened previously according to your previous reporting.
Well, I think that the metrics are not comparable in the sense, but except end-to-end, because what we report now is, say, the average processing time, I think, is typically around 9 to 10 days for GTLD delegations. But that doesn't include, it's an average, any time that that includes the time the customer takes. So it should be that all of our average times should be lower because we're taking out any iterations that we have with the customer. We're not reporting on the VeriSign time. So the IANA actual performance should be less than the average time because today our average time includes all of those things.
Especially, I mean, we do report on end-to-end time in the new model. We just have agreed that there are SLAs on that.
Right.
So that's understanding our bit of it then. So Jonathan, Lisa, then goes to you. Do you see any hiccups, problems there that means you need particularly long to deal with that, or is that really you're just taking, you know, the recommendation from us?
I think we should build ourselves a bit of slack in just to be safe if we can, but I mean realistically, and if it's been done logically, and especially if we explain to the group what's going to happen in advance, it should be just a matter of going, putting it through the group for due process rather than for anything else. That's my sense.
I agree, and anyway, your email list is open, right? So
yep.
They can follow the work, and I can...
We can explain what the way it's going to work and get concerns up front.
Yes.
Okay. Done?
Everybody happy?
Yeah.
Well, happy is just
a relative term.
An important remark. In the interest of keeping our acronyms right, what used to be the Design Team A, the DTA, was renamed the SLE Working Group.
Yes.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
And so who's going to brief Kane and make sure he's happy? Because Paul is someone who's potentially... you know, out of the process, and that's one thing we have to do is make sure that Paul's brought along. I mean, is anyone willing to just bring him up to speed and make sure that, has anyone taken any notes from this session?
Yeah.
But I'll say just...
Oh, it's been recorded. Okay, so we can refer to Paul to the recording.
I can't...
And also, too...
We have the recording. We'll have a transcript and the recording, but we started a little bit late.
Fine.
Recording may not be as best.
Well,
things
are at the end.
Yeah.
Okay.
Call me
tomorrow
when I'm back in Brussels.
So
I'm
happy
to be talking to
you. Brilliant. Yeah, so am I as well. So that's fine.
But also, too, I haven't heard anything today that is different from what you outlined on the last call we had in terms of the 90 days. So there's no – and Paul wasn't he on that call, Jonathan?
He was.
Yeah.
So basically it's more or less there was a meeting of the group to confirm the process that was proposed in the last call, and it's – you know, there was obviously some details, and I'm warmed by what I've heard, so I think...
Correct.
Yeah.
Just that I know Paul's pretty passionate about the subject.
Yeah.
Make sure that he's...
Paul definitely liked a lot more data than 3 months.
Yeah.
There's no two ways about it.
But I think he's accepted that. I mean, I recall from this past CWG meeting that he accepts that we are where we are as far as that's concerned.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean... we would love more data too. I mean, more data we have, more confidence we have, we can see
that.
Yeah.
That's right.
We have an artificial barrier that's been put in front of us that
nothing
we can do about.
Yeah, but the mechanism is put in place for continuous improvement. Anyway.
Yes, it is.
So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
Right. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.